For the translation, Dakshinena Satana Patha by the path. Ayam Naha of the sun. Pitralokam to Pitraloka Prajanti go. Te they Prajan the families. Anu along with Prajayante. They take birth. Smashana. The crematorium. Anda. To the end. Kriya. Fruitive activities. Krutaha. Performing. Such materialistic persons are allowed to go to the planet called Pitraloka by the southern course of the sun. But they again come back to this planet and take birth in their own families, beginning again the same fruitive activities from birth to the end of life. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, verse 21, it is stated that such persons are elevated to the higher planetary systems as soon as their lifetimes of fruitive activity are finished. They return to this planet and thus they go up and down. They go up and come down. Those who are elevated to the higher planets again come back into the same family for which they had too much attached. They are born and the fruitive activities continue again until the end of life. There are different prescribed rituals from birth until the end of life, and they are very much attached to such activities. Text number 21. Tataste kshina sukruta punar logam imam sati padanti vishvadevaihi sadyo vibhram chito dayaha. When the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they fall down by higher arrangement and again come back to this planet. Just as any person raised to a high position sometimes all of a sudden falls. Purport. It is sometimes found that a person elevated to a very high position in government service falls down all of a sudden and no one can check him. Similarly, after finishing their period of enjoyment, foolish persons who are very much interested in being elevated to the position of president in higher planets also fall down to this planet. The distinction between the elevated position of a devotee and that of an ordinary person attracted to fruitive activities is that when a devotee is elevated to the spiritual kingdom, he never falls down, whereas an ordinary person falls even if he is elevated to the higher planetary system, Brahmaloka. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Abhrahma Bhuna Lokaha, that even if one is elevated to a higher planet, he has to come down again. But Krishna confirmed Bhagavad Gita 8:16, Ma upetyatu kaundeya punarjanma na vidyate. Anyone who attains my abode never comes back to this conditioned life of material existence. So, translation of the first verse here. Such materialistic persons are allowed to go to the planet called Pitraloka by the southern course of the sun, but they again come back to this planet and take birth in their own families, beginning again the same fruitive activities from birth to the end of life. Om Agyanativranta Sityanachana Salakaya Chakshura Militamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate
Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna
In the section from maybe verse 12 onwards till this verse number 21, there is a description of the destiny of a person who is attached to his or her activities. What happens to him or her? That's where it is mentioned, Trivargika. The word used a few verses before is Trivargika, means one who is attached to fruitive activities, whether it could be a bit of religiosity or sense gratification or earning some money, any of these activities has consequences. None of them are innocent activities. Rather, one has to get some reactions for that. So here, till verse 21, that is the verse we read after this, this is described, and then further, Kabilidev will describe pure devotional service, explaining the worthless nature of fruitive activities, attached activities. Kapiladev, the Supreme Lord, explains what is pure devotional service. So now we will focus on this section, the nature of material activities which one performs in a very attached fashion. So as it is mentioned here, even if we go to the higher planetary system, even if we go to the highest planetary system in this material world, still one has to come back. Then what to speak about our petty attachments? We are attached to so many little things. So what to speak about them? What's the use of them? So that's what here it is narrated. One time, a brahmachari was using a laptop and he gave his email address. So one person who was quite novice to Krishna consciousness asked, is it possible that a brahmachari can use email? So this brahmachari replied that, yes, we can use emails without attachment. So the essence is the same. That is, we shouldn't have attachment. It's not about using things in service of Krishna, but attachment is the problem. Because the binding factor is attachment. If you want to see what is the glue that will lead to suffering, is attachment. So when we have attachment to that degree, to that proportion, there is going to be stress, there is going to be anxiety, and it is practically unavoidable. One may have a house, and one may make elaborate plans. I need 4-bedroom house, I need 5-bedroom house, I need bigger house. Yes, that is fine. Then when one is attached to that, it gives a lot of pain. Because everyone has to pay the mortgage. Most do not have cash in the pocket. So when we have elaborate material plans, so there is some addition to it. We had to pay for it. And one can become very proud of a big house. But the reality is that the house belongs to the bank. Still one is attached. I remember, it's a custom, it's a ritual. Here it's talking about Karmakanda rituals. But it's a ritual when one has a new house, especially if someone comes, want to take a tour of the house. To each bedroom, to the each bathroom, to the each toilet. Can't describe. Everything is very elaborately shown. It's a part of the rituals. Even from my childhood I have seen this. So this is material attachment and we want to show off. So as devotees, we cannot take the stand. We had to understand what we are doing. We may have a house, but we had to be very clear what is the purpose. then we shouldn't think, I need a big, big house because I have to hold a big program. There's an excuse for everything. I need many bedrooms because devotees can come and stay. Which may be true, it could be affordable for some, then, well and good. If not, it shouldn't be at the compromise of one's own sadhana. Because when one is picking up the big bag, one should think about Krishna, not about the mortgage, the anxiety at work. So that's the reality. So one has to be very careful when one makes plan. It is very practical. There is no, it's not a rocket science. It's very simple. What is affecting our sadhana? What is holding us back from properly chanting Krishna's name? What is holding us back from reading Srila Prabhupada's books? Because many times one may think reading Srila Prabhupada's books, it is for either for teachers or for residents of the temple. Brahmacharis or Matajis who are residing in the temple, it is for them. Reading is for everyone. The quality reading is for everyone, and we can see grihasthas who are actually advanced in Krishna consciousness. We can see them delivering lectures, helping so many people. If you analyze their lifestyle, we can see that they were studying very seriously Srila Prabhupada's books for years, even when they had kids. I was shocked one time when Urmila Mataji spoke. She was having lunch with Devamsa Maharaj. So I was serving. At that time, Maharaj asked Urmila Mataji, "So you had children, so you were raising kids, so they were young kids. So were you reading Prabhupada's books?" Generally, Maharaj said, "Even my disciples, they complain because I have kids. We don't have even time to chant. What to speak about reading books?" So this is the usual complaint. Then Mataji said, "It is nonsense." So even we were all shocked. Even Maharaj was shocked. Nonsense. It's nonsense. She said, "When I had kids, I used to read 3 to 4 hours a day." So actually, Maharaj said, "Please speak that loudly. Let everyone hear that." So she said, "It's a matter of priority. So anyone can read. So okay, there are practicalities attached to it. But the principle remains the same, that if one wants to continue in Krishna consciousness, one has to make the habit of studying Srila Prabhupada's books carefully. I know some devotees who may not have taken notes while studying Srila Prabhupada's books, but they were reading regularly. And they could practically tell how Srimad Bhagavatam is progressing. You know, we study probably in a course, Tatra Sargasya, Sargasya Sthanam, Poshanam Utaya, you know, the different subjects of Bhagavatam through serious studies. However, some devotees just by reading and just remembering, they were working, have kids, etc. But in due course of the reading, they took a few years, but still, they were able to clearly tell how Bhagavatam is progressing in its theme, in its subject matters. I was very impressed that not strictly studying at one place, and I have seen this devotee sometimes in the tram, sometimes a little bit walking or standing by the side of the street, reading Bhagavatam a little bit here and there, but still was able to remember and understand how Bhagavatam is progressing and appreciate. So this is possible, I understand it is possible. It's not that one may not have exact time to sit and study the entire Bhagavatam, but still, in as we go on in our life, one can take it as part of the life. So many things are just habit. Hearing lectures, it's a habit. When we are wasting time, hear something about Krishna. When we are just wasting time, just read a little bit. So it's a habit. It's a cultivation. It's more of a cultivation rather than, okay, today onwards I'm going to read 2 hours. It may not happen. That time may not come very soon. But if you make it a habit, then slowly it will manifest. Here in this verse, a bit more serious consequence of attachment is described. That is, one can be born even in one's own family after going through the whole lifetime. If one is attached, one can even come back to the same family. Maybe it may look a bit horrific at this point in time because one had enough of it. Same family. So people are changing so many things in one family in itself. But one coming back to the same family, that can look a little bit torturous. Anyway, one time Srila Prabhupada was in one of the houses and he saw a tree growing very close to this house. A big tree growing very close to the house. Srila Prabhupada looked at this house and he told, this tree was a person who was attached to the same house. He was a member of this house and now he has come back as this tree because of the attachment. This is the consequence. So we have to be careful now, trees in our house. Who are they? We don't know. We don't know who are the cats and the dogs we are attached to. Probably people had a lot of attachments in previous lifetime. Now they have come as a pet. So we don't know who are these people. Maybe from the previous lives. We know the pastime of Narada Muni, a Puranic story. Narada Muni and Kailash, right? He came. He went to Kailash and asked, now, let's go to Vaikuntha, let's go to the spiritual world. Kailash was a young man. What happened? He said, no, no, I can't come. Guru Maharaj, you go. At least I have to get married. Then I can, after 2-3 years, you come back. Then I'm happy to go with you. And then he went. He came back. Then what happened? I just had one baby. How can I go? So you can go to the spiritual world. The world of no anxiety, but how can I go? So Narada Muni said, okay, when shall I come back? Come after a few years, let my kids grow up, because let me finish off my responsibilities, let them stand on their legs, then everything is fine. Narada Muni went, he came back, and what happened? They were all grown up, they all got married. So then this person told, look, I have my grandchildren, I have to look after them, I have to see them getting married. Okay, my kids' marriage finished. Now, let me see them getting married. Then Narada Muni went, came back. He's an old man, still he doesn't want to come back. Next time Narada Muni visited, this person was not there. What happened to this person? He became a?
Dog.
A dog. He became a dog because the dog was not allowing. Narada Muni went, the dog was barking. This was the situation. So Narada Muni is a transcendental personality, so he could speak to the dog. He said, why have you come back as dog? So he said, the neighbors, people are coming, they are creating disturbance. The thieves are coming in the night, so I can protect the family by barking. So, no hope. Then Narada Muni understood the situation is very bad. He went back and came back. Now he couldn't see the dog also. So they said, dog died. Then Narada Muni, he understood what was going on. So he walked around, then he found a snake. He spoke to the snake, what are you doing? So snake said, dog's body I could give some protection, but now there are a lot of paddy fields, there are so much of grain fields, and these rats, so many other pests, they are coming, they are trying to eat up the whole field. So I had, as a snake, I can do better service. I can kill all these people, you know, all these intruders. In that way I can give protection to my family. Then Narada Muni, he understood, this guy is never going to learn what he did. He said, okay, called up all the look at that, there is a snake. So all the kids, grandkids, all of them came, they took stick and beat nicely, started beating the snake. When he was getting the beating from his own family, the snake started learning. Oh, I was thinking they are my close relatives. I am loving them. I am serving them. But what are they doing to me? And finally, they beat him to death. After that, it is said, Narada Muni gave him mercy. And he became a devotee in the next life. So this is the reality. This is the reality of material existence. So we cannot be attached so much to these kind of things. And it is going to create such a havoc. So attachment is two-sided. One side, we have to check consciously. We have to see what are our attachments. We have to be conscious of our attachments. It can happen to anyone. If we are living in the ashram, we have our own attachments. Even a few possessions one can hold on to. As Kadambagana Maharaj says, a brahmachari should take a stock take, right? He says a stock take. See what you haven't used for 6 months or 2 months, I don't know. Anyway, a few months at least. And if you haven't used, either throw away or give away. No holding on to things. That is the principle. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult. One can become attached. Even one senior Vaishnava was advising me, was telling, don't get attached to material things. And a personal level, telling, don't get attached. It's very serious if you said someone, don't get attached to the material things. So this is very important to make progress in bhakti. And on the other side, we consciously avoid attachment. And on the other side, we develop our Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna is sweet and Krishna is opulent. There is opulence and sweetness of Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Kavyaj Goswami, he writes like this. Agatya Agatim Natva Dikinathatika Sathakam Sri Chaitanyam Likhamyasya Madhuryo Ujjala Shikaram. He uses the word Madhurya and Ujjala, describing the pastimes of Mahaprabhu and the pastimes of Krishna. So, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says that Mahaprabhu is one who has completely lost the direction in life. One who doesn't know what is the real aim of life. For him, the only shelter is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let me try to describe a portion of his pastimes, describing the mercy and the sweetness and the opulence. So this is Krishna Kaviraj Goswami say. So the point is, if one develops that attraction for opulence and sweetness of Krishna, then one can get out from this material attachments. Because here there is a stern warning. One can be even born in one's own family. Same with in Mahabharata, we can see what happened to Duryodhana. Duryodhana was born to Dhritarashtra, and all the bad omens were manifested when Duryodhana was born. And all of them, all the relatives who know, they told, you kill this child. How is that? Including Vidura. Vidura told Dhritarashtra that Duryodhana is going to cause calamity. He is going to destroy the entire dynasty. So just kill him. Or abandon him. Not kill him, just abandon him. Not to kill him, but to abandon him. But Dhritarashtra was so attached, so he couldn't. And he caused the destruction of the whole dynasty. So this is the reality. So one can be born, even it is said, an enemy can born as one's own son. How is that? It's an example. Duryodhana is an example. An enemy can born as one's own son in the same family and can cause destruction. So this is the material attachment, the end result of the material attachment. And current standard is very, very different, because here it is talking about the karmakanda sacrifices, whereas here there is, you know, we hardly can find karmakanda sacrifices in the Western world. Or India, to some degree, we can see some karmakanda sacrifices. And the ancient time, it was quite prominent. And Srila Prabhupada, in the 7th canto, in one of the purports, right? Even Hiranyakashipu was more intelligent than the modern society. Even Hiranyakashipu, he was the greatest of the demon, even he was more intelligent. Because he knew that there is a soul. He knew. He didn't act on the eternal platform. That's different. But at least he knew theoretically that there is a soul. So Prabhupada compares Hiranyakashipu is better than the modern materialistic scientists, philosophers, etc. So this is the point of seeing from the eternal principle, seeing from the platform of soul. And here the mention is about karmakanda sacrifices leading to Pitraloka. So Pitraloka is an opulent place. If one performs these ritualistic activities, one could go to Pitraloka, as it is mentioned in this verse. Pitraloka is beneath, you know, near the Garbhataka ocean on the southern side, just above the lower planetary system. So that's where the Pitraloka is there. So one who is doing those old ritualistic activities attached to the family, they go to the Pitraloka. And as mentioned, we know, Kshine Punye Martilokam Vishanti. When all the pious credits are finished, one has to come back to this material world and maybe to even the same family. Everything would have changed, but one can come to the same family. So this is material attachments. Then Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, even right from the second chapter, Krishna criticizes the karmakanda aspects of Vedas. Can you write in the second chapter? Veda vatrata patha nanyadasti divadina. Right? Those who do not have sufficient knowledge, who are in poor fund of knowledge, what do you think? These flowery descriptions of Vedas are everything. Ya imam pushpidam vaja pravachanti vipaschitaha veda vatrata patha nanyadasti divadina. The imam pushpitam vacha, because the Vedas gives a very flowery words that if you do this such and such activity, such and such rituals, next life you can go to the heavenly planets where you can enjoy like anything. It gives an understanding, here there is suffering, in the heavenly planet there is no suffering. You can unlimitedly enjoy. So why it's also giving a kind of an not eternal, but a perspective which is much longer than one material life. He's saying, okay, you work hard to perform this ritualistic activities for a few years, and then you can go to Nandakana gardens. You can enjoy with the different beautiful heavenly denizens. In that way, so many allurements are given. And Krishna, right in the second chapter itself, criticizes these ritualistic activities. He says, what's the use of this? It is just, it's actually divert from the real objective of life. That's why it's mentioned, bhogaishirya prasaktana taya bhakta chetasam vyavasayagatmika bhakti samadho na vidhiyate. Bhogaishirya prasaktana, one is attached to material enjoyment, then one cannot have the steady determination, focused determination for spiritual practice. So this is not just applicable to people who lived many years ago or who are doing these ritualistic activities, but they are applicable to us, the devotees, because we don't want to get diverted from our spiritual activities. So if your material life is taking its course, which is very prominent, then one may lose focus in our sadhana, in our seva, in our service, which are most important. So Krishna further says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nishta Traigunyo Bhavarjuna. Traigunya Vishaya Veda. Here, the same few verses before, the same thing is mentioned. The three divisions. So Krishna says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda. The main subject matter of Veda is Traigunya, these three things. Artha, Kama and Dharma, Artha and Kama. Main thing. Then a little bit of mention about Moksha, but not so much about the Panjama Purushartha, the fifth goal of life, which is Krishna consciousness. So it is very important that we understand it carefully and we practice Krishna consciousness religiously, understanding the need, understanding the purpose, rather than doing it ritualistically. Say for example, chanting for the sake of chanting, because otherwise devotees will think, who am I? I have taken the initiation. I have taken the initiation vow. So somehow or other, just chant. That is niyamagraha. There is niyamagraha and there is niyamakshama, right? Niyamagraha means doing for the sake of doing it. Just, okay, I have to do it. We can make anything, any aspect of devotional service into niyamagraha. Anything. And niyamakshama means not following the principles properly. It can happen. One can succumb to lower habits. One can succumb to negative habits which others may not see, but we know what's going on in us. And that can pull us in our devotional service. So one has to be careful. It is mentioned to move from anartha nirvritti, means slowly the arathas are going away. So when one is going through anartha nirvritti and reaching nishta, steadiness in devotional service, one has to be very vigilant about niyamagraha and niyamakshama. These are the two things one has to be very careful of. That is, not following the principles, not following the devotional service just for the sake of doing it, or slowly breaking some of the principles. So if one has to actually come to nishta, steadiness in devotional service, one has to be vigilant of these two things. Then one can come to steadiness in chanting, in maintaining the consciousness, in performing devotional service, etc. Very important. Now, talking about Mahaprabhu, even by the appearance of Mahaprabhu, he challenged all these karmakanda activities. Before the appearance of Mahaprabhu, and when Mahaprabhu was performing Sankirtan pastimes, this Martha Brahmanas, they were making this point that if you have to chant Krishna's names like Hari, Govinda, etc., one has to go take bath in Ganges, purify oneself. In at the appropriate time, one can chant names of Krishna. So this was the Smartha description of chanting. So Mahaprabhu threw away all these kind of principles, which are just karmakandi principles, not even authorized by the scriptures. And Mahaprabhu distributed freely chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Mahaprabhu said, "Na niyame kala." There is no time, there is no particular restrictions, there is no hard and fast rules in chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is very important. So we need to go away from this karmakanda mentality even in our devotional life. So this is karma. Mahaprabhu threw away all these karmakanda principles. He never encouraged practicing any karmakanda. And when Mahaprabhu was in Varanasi, he was chanting and dancing with his associates. Right? Then even Jnanis had problem with Mahaprabhu. What was their problem? Why a sannyasi is chanting and dancing? Right? Prakashananda Saraswati, who was the head of all the Mayavadi sannyasis, he was bewildered practically. He couldn't think, he couldn't accept a sannyasi chanting and dancing and crying, apparently making a show. Why is it? Right? Why is it? Why such a sannyasi is chanting and dancing? Actually, he said, sannyasi dharma, the dharma of a sannyasi is studying Vedanta and meditating. Vedanta padam and dhyana. These are the two purposes of sannyasis, and they shouldn't chant and dance like sentimentalists. So this is the, and this principle is still carried forward by Mayavadi sannyasis. They cannot appreciate chanting and dancing. Right? When many people come, the guests who come to the temple, they get bewildered seeing chanting and dancing. Have you seen dancing in the temple in front of the Lord? Everyone wants to fold their hands very carefully, right? And maybe put their head on the ground. Very serious. That's it. They don't want to see chanting and dancing. That is the karmakanda mentality. Whereas Anga Bhakti is chanting and dancing because it is for the pleasure of the Lord. So this is a test even for devotees that when we are chanting or dancing, we should think about Krishna. We should do for the pleasure of Krishna. It shouldn't be a show off when we are dancing especially. Another thing that happens when we are dancing is devotees may stop chanting while dancing because of the intricacies of the steps. Okay, and the intricacies of showing off, one may stop chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So you can see when there is too much of dancing, then we cannot hear the Maha Mantra. But that's not the purpose. Similarly, even while playing the instruments are to accompany chanting, not to overshadow chanting. So one has to be very careful when we are even performing chanting in front of the Lord, because this mentality creep in here also, as we can see. So now, then Mahaprabhu heard this, that all this Mayavadi sannyasis are criticizing for him chanting and dancing. Then, as you know, how the pastime goes, Mahaprabhu visited Prakashananda Saraswati, and with his humble behavior, he won the heart of Prakashananda Saraswati. Then Prakashananda Saraswati asked Mahaprabhu, why are you doing this? Why are you chanting and dancing just like a sentimentalist? Even though you look very learned, and he said, you look like a Narayan. Because there is no harm for them saying anyone Narayan, because it is it's for sale. Because anyone who accepts sannyas, they become Narayan. So they say, even Om Namo Narayanaya to any sannyasis. Because once one has given up the material position, because accepting Maya was sannyas means one is giving up all the material attachment, gives rights for the entire family. And then one does rights, that is the last rights, for one's own self, and then accepts sannyas. So one is dead. You understand? So one is not existing, and then one accepts sannyas. It means one has come to the platform of Narayan, the Supreme Lord. That's a misconception. So it's a giveaway for them to call Narayan. So even Prakashananda says, is told, Mahaprabhu, you are like Narayan, you are Narayan. Which is actually true. So one time, Prakashananda Saraswati told the real truth. What is that? Mahaprabhu is Narayan himself, which is true. For other sannyasis, it's not applicable, but Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna himself. So, Prakashananda Saraswati rightly told that he is Narayan. But in past times of Mahaprabhu, there are other great devotees also recognized. Not his close associates, other devotees also recognized him as Narayan. For example, Vallabhacharya. Vallabhacharya could see Mahaprabhu looks like he's all the lakshanas, all the characteristics of Narayan is present in Mahaprabhu. So even Vallabhacharya could recognize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that was there. But here he is a Mayavadi, that's why he loosely used the term Narayan. Then Mahaprabhu, he again took the humble approach and he said, my spiritual master, when I approached my spiritual master, he understood my real position. Many times we want to see that if we go in front of the spiritual master, we want to show that, you know, I am such and such person. I am good, I have done such and such things, I have such qualification. But the approach is, when one approaches the spiritual master, one should consider oneself as a fool. But one shouldn't act foolishly. There is a difference in the mood considering oneself as a fool. That is alright. That is good. That should be the mood. But in front of the spiritual master, one shouldn't act foolishly. You know, one can do silly things in front of the spiritual master. That is not recommended. But one should consider as foolish. You know, I don't know anything. I am approaching my spiritual master. So Mahaprabhu also approached his spiritual master in the same mood. So what did his spiritual master instructed Mahaprabhu? Murkha tumi. What's that? This is what Mahaprabhu is telling. Murkha tumi. Murkha, you are a murkha. You are a fool number one. Murkha tumi nahika vedanta atikar. You are a fool, so you don't have any qualification to study Vedanta. This is Mahaprabhu is telling the great sannyasi. Think about it. Okay, if our spiritual master calls us a fool, that's fine. But we don't go and tell everyone, do we? This is the assembly of all the sannyasis, including the great leader Prakashananda Saraswati was present. But Mahaprabhu said, Murkha tumi nahika Vedanta adhikar. You don't have any adhikar for Vedanta. Then he said, then next is a very important point. What is that? Krishna mantra japa sata e mantra sa. You do one thing, Krishna mantra japa sata. You chant Krishna's names always. E mantra sa. This is the essence of all the Vedic principles. The conclusion of all the Vedanta, everything is Krishna mantra japa sata e mantra sa. This is the instruction given by my spiritual master. So what I did? I am simply chanting and dancing. It's very interesting because when Mahaprabhu approached Ishwarapuri after getting instructed from Ishwarapuri, he approached Ishwarapuri and told, what's happening to me? You have given me this mantra and I am almost becoming like a madman after chanting this mantra. And he quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto. Evamrata supriya namakritya jatanurago vratachitta uchai hasatya toro didiravadigaya tulmadamendatidiloka bahya. It clearly says, Evamrata supriya namakritya. They are chanting one's Lord's dear names. Jata anurago vratachitta uchai. Jata anuraga. One develops so much of attraction for Krishna in a spontaneous manner. And what happened? Jata anurago hrita chitta uchai. One's heart is completely captured by the Supreme Lord. Hasatyato rodhiti nirtyati. Hasatyato, one laughs. Just like a madman. Hasatyato rodhiti. One moment, one is loudly laughing, and the next moment, rodhiti means crying. And unmadavan nirtyati. Unmadavan means just like a madman. Nirtyati, dances. Lokabhagya, without caring about the rest of the world. So this is the actual principle of chanting and dancing. When we are actually chanting and dancing, we shouldn't think what others are thinking. Let it be Harinam, let it be in the temple room. These other devotees, are they watching me? Are they looking at me? Am I doing a best show? No. The whole idea, we don't have to be unmadavan. We cannot be artificially mad. But the perfection of life of Krishna consciousness is to become unmada, to be mad for Krishna. It may look crazy that the perfection of this process is to become mad. That's what the 11th canto is describing, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is quoted. This is the perfection of life. So this is what happened to Mahaprabhu, and then when Ishwarvari heard this, Ishwarvari became very happy. He said, I am very proud of you. You have attained the perfection of life. So now, after this, Mahaprabhu explains the glories of the holy name to Prakasananda Saraswati, and he gets convinced and he becomes a Vaishnava. So in Varanasi, which is the heart of all monastic scholars and sannyasis, the great leader himself becomes a Vaishnava, and all his followers would also get converted into Vaishnavism. So this is the glory of Mahaprabhu. It's showing the importance of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and dancing for the pleasure of the Lord. So it's the practice. And that can attract everyone. That can attract ourselves. And here further it is mentioned that even one goes to the Brahmaloka, one cannot be satisfied. So there are two things we can derive from that. One is seeing from a karmakanda perspective, that is, even if one gets to such high material opulence, still without bhakti, one's heart cannot be satisfied. And on the other side of the story is, in terms of one's connection to Krishna, in terms of one's loving connection to Krishna, even if one goes to Brahmaloka and serves, one cannot be satisfied. That is narrated by Sanatana Goswami in the pastime of Gop Kumar. Gop Kumar is a special person, young boy. Gop Kumar was born in Govardhan, and he was instructed by his guru, a Brahmin, to chant Gopal Mantra. And as he chants Gopal Mantra, he can go to any destination that he desires. So he was in Govardhan, he was a cowherd boy. And he wanted to see the Supreme Lord. His whole desire of his life was, I want to see the Supreme Lord face to face. It's a very good desire to have. So his guru said, you can try that just by chanting this Gopal Mantra. And he said, my desirable Lord is Madan Gopal. So he proceeds with his hierarchical journey. He goes to different, he goes to better place where there are better temples. He goes to Jagannath Puri, he goes to higher planets, and finally, it is mentioned, he goes to, even before reaching the Vaikuntha planet, he goes to the topmost planetary system within the material world, which is Brahmaloka. Because he went to Brahmaloka, from Tapaloka he went to Brahmaloka. Because when he went to Tapaloka, he was a bit disheartened. Because Tapaloka, Gopakumar is a coward boy. He wants to chant the glories of Krishna. He wants to have a good time. But when he went to Tamaloka, he saw everyone is meditating. So all the Sarat Kumaras, all the Chadush Kumaras, Pippalayana, all the Navayogendras, all are in the Tamaloka. But nobody is talking. Everyone is sitting in the corner and meditating. Then Gopakumar started thinking, what place is this? You know, I am coming here. You know, I want to at least talk to someone. Nobody is talking. It's like if somebody comes to temple, for example, if no one speaks, they feel, you know, where am I? Am I in the right place? Or if you go to a preaching program, nobody is speaking to us. We feel a bit, you know, uncomfortable. Same thing happened to Gop Kumar. He started thinking, what is this? What's going on? Then, after meditation, They all came and they started discussing high philosophical topics. So now everyone was speaking to Gopakumar, but they started speaking Vedanta, high philosophical topics, descriptions of the absolute truth. Gopakumar started thinking, what is going on? I can't understand anything. I can hear the pastimes of Krishna, but this is, I cannot understand anything. What's really going on? Then he was watching somebody. This is like a new person coming and sitting in Bhagavatam class. If you're giving a big Bhagavatam class, very philosophical, and one person is sitting and can't understand anything. Similarly, Gopakumar felt left alone. After that, the leader of all the Tapaloka, Sarat Kumar, he came and asked Gopakumar, what's happening? He said, okay, no problem, don't worry. He said, the real enjoyment is within. This was the description. You want to see the Supreme Lord? That's alright. He again explained philosophically. All the senses are bringing all the impression to the mind. So the ultimate experience is in the mind, not just by seeing. So if you want to see the Supreme Lord, don't worry about chasing after the Lord. You simply meditate along with us. We will teach you how to meditate, and you can enjoy like anything by meditating. Gopakumar was not very impressed, but he heard that and still he continued his chanting of Gopal mantra. And at one point he saw Brahma coming one day. So Gopakumar is a simple boy, he didn't know who is this. So he said, who is this? So Brahma himself laughed. You came all the way up to this Tapaloka, still you don't know who am I? You should know at least in a four-headed Brahma, I have a swan carrier, at least you should know me after coming to Tapaloka, which is, you know, very, very high. So Gopakumar said, okay, I don't know, this is Brahma, he's the creator of this universe, he's almost equal to the Lord, he's a great devotee, he's almost equal to the Supreme Lord, he has all the control of all the entire universe. So all these Kumaras, they encouraged Gopakumar to develop a relation to Brahma. So Gopakumar thought, okay, maybe I'll try, go and try and see Brahma. And then they said, you can see the Supreme Lord in the form of Mahapurush in the Brahmaloka. So that is Garbhodha Vishaya Vishnu. Gopakumar chanted Gopal mantra and he desired to go to Brahmaloka. He opened his eyes, he was in Brahmaloka. Then he looked, he saw Lord Brahma sitting on the lotus. And he saw all great sages in the Brahmaloka. And on the side he saw the Supreme Lord is lying on Ananta Chesh, Garbhodha Vishaya Vishnu. He saw Lakshmi Devi massaging the feet of Lord Vishnu. Then he was a bit bewildered and he was quite attracted to the Lord. He went near the Supreme Lord. Then Mother Lakshmi pacified Gopakumar. Mother Lakshmi told, don't worry running after, chasing after this cowherd village. The Supreme Lord is lying here. You see him? He is the source of everyone and everything. He is an abode of all the mercy. So why don't you serve him? Stay here happily. Gopakumar was very attracted. He said, yeah, it looks, sounds very nice. I can live here. There is a Supreme Lord is here. Everything looks nice. Then he saw that only Lord Brahma is getting special attention. Sometimes Lord calls Brahma and he talks about devotional service. Lord Brahma understands and he goes back in ecstasy. And sometimes he saw that Lord also disappears sometimes. He cannot see the Supreme Lord sometimes. He can only see Brahma. And after some time he told, if I need special mercy from the Supreme Lord, maybe I should become Brahma. So he again chanted this mantra. It's very good, right? If we have that mantra, we can get anything. Actually, we have that mantra. If we have got Brahmin initiation, we all have Gopal mantra. Do we see any benefit? Probably we'll be sleeping while chanting, or you know, just thinking about everything. The mantras have power. Gopakumar is actually demonstrating the power of Gopal mantra. Up till he reaches his worshipable Lord Madan Gopal in Goloka Vrindavan. So again, he desires to become Brahma. So one day he chanted the mantra, then Brahma came, the real Brahma, he came and he saw, he touched the stone, suddenly a demon came from the stone. So Brahma got bewildered, he ran away. But Supreme Lord, Garbhodesha Vishnu, he's all powerful, he killed this demon. And he told Brahma, you come back, I have killed the demon, don't worry, you come back. But this Brahma didn't come back. Out of fear, this Brahma flee away and he never came back. And Gopakumar became the next Brahma. Even the young boy, he became the Brahma. And now, Gopakumar started spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world. He appointed devotees in all the big positions. And he started the process of chanting and dancing and he spread Krishna consciousness. At the same time, still he had to deal with the managerial responsibilities to manage the entire world. He was going on, he found it very difficult. He found, I cannot really absorb in my sadhana. I cannot really absorb in devotional service. These heavy responsibilities are just like burden. So he decided, I have to even go beyond that. Okay, so that's the story continues. So Gopakumar leaves even Brahmaloka. So this is on the platform of rasa, not because of falling down in the material world, because of his intense attraction for Krishna as a cowherd boy. So he couldn't get even satisfied seeing Vishnu lying on Ananta Shesh. So this is the position of Gopakumar. So even in that respect, for a devotee of Krishna, Brahmaloka is not really palatable. We need the association of Krishna. So this is what is mentioned. Here is mentioned Brahmaloka. And to reach to Brahmaloka, generally it is very difficult. One cannot reach that. Brahmaloka is so difficult. We have difficulty chanting 16 rounds in one go. What to speak about performing austerities to go to Brahmaloka? It is impossible. And even in Brahmaloka, when one goes to the spiritual world from Brahmaloka, as it is mentioned, after two parathas, few trillion years, when Brahma is going back to spiritual abode, then all the residents of Brahmaloka goes back, provided the Brahma is a pure devotee. If Brahma is not a pure devotee, it doesn't happen. So it's a gambling. So material life is a gambling. If one is investing in material life, it is gambling. So Srila Prabhupada said, one can perform the real gambling. Actually, Prabhupada said, okay, one wants to do gambling, don't get entangled in the gambling of this world, but the real gambling is becoming a devotee. You are gambling with your life, isn't it? You can do so many things. So the real gambling, Prabhupada said, is becoming a devotee. Because you are gambling with your life. You are giving your life to Krishna and seeing what happens. Prabhupada said, this is the real gambling. Because this can give the highest benefit. So if you want to gamble, do the real gambling. Give life to Krishna. Give every day for attentive chanting. Do service for Krishna. And then see what happens. So we will see something which is very wonderful. So this is the message of Krishna consciousness. Don't gamble for material things. It is simply a waste. Okay, stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Everyone looks very satisfied. Okay, if there are no questions, yeah, Madhya.
What, and then Gopakumar after that, where did
he go? Gopakumar is a long journey, so I can't describe all the planets. But then he started hearing about Mukti. About Mukti means liberation. Because in Brahmaloka, he found some sages who were talking about liberation. You don't really want to worry about the services. As a Brahma, you have to deal with so many services. You have to worry about so many things. So there is anxiety, even in Brahmaloka. Actually, it is mentioned, one of the anxieties of Brahmaloka, not necessarily that of Brahma, but the residents of Brahmaloka, is that they are aware of the planetary system beneath Brahmaloka, and especially Bhuloka and beneath. This earth planet and the lokas, the planets beneath earth. And they know that there are a lot of sufferings there. So thinking about that, the residents of Brahmaloka becomes very morose. The awareness that there is suffering in this world makes them suffer. So this is one of the suffering of the Brahmaloka. But since Gopakumar was Brahma himself, so his problem was he had to deal with everything. So this is a typical mentality even a devotee can come across, that the services are too much. you know, the services and association is giving me a headache. So rather, let me stop the suffering and let me get liberation. So Bhagavakumar actually comes across the sages who starts talking about liberation. That is, don't worry about all this managing, all this anxiety. Let me go to the path of liberation. So here Gopakumar actually proceeds towards liberation. So he leaves Brahmaloka and he moves towards liberation. That time he feels completely horrified. He feels horrible because he starts to lose his identity. That time he becomes completely scared because his worshipable Lord is Madan Gopal, the Supreme Lord. He wants to see Madan Gopal. He wants to serve Madan Gopal. Then he realizes this losing this his identity is the worst thing to happen. So then the story continues. He then gets saved from that also. So for us it is a very important point that even if you have service, even if you go through difficulties in our life, one shouldn't think that I am practicing Krishna consciousness just to get rid of my suffering. That is a mentality of liberation. So this is another important point. So actually, Gopakumar actually goes through that phase and then gets over that. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Madhu.
So as devotees, we understand like gross materialistic things, we can, you know, get rid of it. But I think that suddenly we are still materialistic.
Yes.
Even like it's my service, my sadhana.
Yes.
So how do we?
It's a very good point that subtly we are still attached. My things are coming. So again, this is two sides to it when we talk about the answer. One side is we have to consciously avoid. Consciously we have to think. So it means philosophical understanding is very important when my things are coming. That's why we are here in Bhagavatam. To get rid of my with Krishna, we have to see the bigger picture. So that is philosophical conviction and philosophical application. We have to train our mind to see not in terms of my perspective, but seeing from Krishna's perspective and devotee's perspective. So that is one side. Second, side by side, we need to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Say for example, even chanting, initially it is my chanting. And if you practice chanting, and if you consciously absorb in chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then chanting is Krishna. The only thing what we hear about Krishna and we think about Krishna, it's just Krishna. Initially it is, get rid of this problem, or it's my chanting, I want to be focused, I want this, I want the other thing, even if it's good, I want to be focused, but it is me still the center. But when one is absorbed in chanting, for example, then it is Krishna, it's all about Krishna. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, it's the gradual progress that we need to make. And we have to be conscious, so it's a two-sided. One is our gradual progress through our service and sadhana, and at the same time, our philosophical conviction and correcting ourselves, being introspective and correcting ourselves. So it's a combination of both. Thank you very much. Grantharashima Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prabhupada ki.